Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Football Friday here, of course, as the Patriots and the Titans get going. 7:15, of course, pregame coverage. That's right, pregame at 11 a.m. Central Time. 8 hours of coverage for you right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Also got a couple of tickets to the Preds game coming up we're going to give away as well. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing. And we go up to Boston to talk behind enemy lines, of course, with Mike Petralia covering the New England Patriots. And Mike, let me ask you just first and foremost, is it possible for the New England Patriots to actually play the disrespect card in a playoff game?
Inside that locker room, I would say definitely, because I think everybody inside that locker room feels that everybody on the outside thinks the game against the Dolphins is the red flag that indicates the end of the dynasty. And I actually think there's some truth to that, but they're going to play that card hard. And, you know, Kyle Van Noy, you know, just 2 days after that loss, a horrible loss, said that the revenge tour begins now. And he looks at the game against the Titans as revenge for what happened last year in Nashville. And, you know, if things break right for the Patriots, then they get a chance to beat the Chiefs, who they lost to in the regular season, and obviously potentially beat the Ravens. So inside the locker room, it's all about the revenge tour, according to Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, I look at this game, and I know, you know, the you know what's being said is Tennessee, because of the way they have been playing, if they're going to beat, or if you're going to play New England anytime, it's to play them now, because it seems like you know, they are not as crisp on offense as they have been over the last decade. I think they, you know, when they play Miami, Miami just plays them a little bit different for some strange reason. Miami has won 2 out of the last 3 meetings. And when you play a divisional game, it's just a little bit different rather than playing the conference or another conference. What is going on with that offense? Because the defense has played well. I know they've had some hiccups up lately, but for the most part, this is the number one defense in the National Football League. But what is going on with the offense? Is it just not having Gronk that's really the problem?
I think that's a big part of it, Derek. They have not been able to establish a running game like they did last year. If you recall, last year they were 9-5. Mm-hmm. Heading into games, home games against the Bills and the Jets. They found their running game mojo with James Devlin, their fullback, who got injured this year. They don't have him either. And between Devlin and Gronk providing a good point of attack at the line of scrimmage, they were able to run the ball. They have not really been able to do that consistently. You've seen a little bit of Sony Michel the last couple of weeks in spurts, but he hasn't been able to take over games. He hasn't been allowed to take over games. And it's almost as if they don't believe that they can really run the ball when they need to run the ball. And that's the big difference between last year at this time and this year, I would say, is the Patriots don't have that kind of rhythm on offense and don't have that rhythm in the running game. And when you don't have a rhythm in the running game, it's a lot easier. It's never easy, but it's significantly more efficient defending Tom Brady. And certainly when you don't have Rob Gronkowski in the passing attack, that also takes away a weapon and allows teams to much more easily double-team Julian Edelman, which was certainly the case on Sunday against the Dolphins. And I want to know what's happened to James White. He only got, I think, 6 touches in the loss to Miami. That can't happen on Saturday night if you're a Patriots fan. He's got to touch the ball between 10 and 15, maybe as many as 18 times if the Patriots offense is going to get in rhythm.
I mean, it's interesting you say that and bring that up about James White, because it feels like teams have figured out as long as you don't use a linebacker to cover him, you know, you use a defensive back, which again causes
right.
problems elsewhere. As long as you use a defensive back to cover him and then you double Julian Edelman, it feels like that is the formula. Does that sound right to you?
That's exactly what the Dolphins did last week, and the Patriots just weren't able to make plays, haven't been able to make plays on the perimeter. And if you go back and watch the film, Tom Brady, over his career, has been very accurate outside the numbers and has shown the ability to, you know, throw with a lot of great touch outside the numbers. Well, the Dolphins made him throw outside the numbers on Sunday, and he wasn't very effective. And certainly in the first half, he struggled. I mean, anybody watches the film knows that whether or not he's hurt or he's just off his game, he was not effective throwing outside. And I'm curious, you know, Mike Vrabel knows Tom Brady and has studied the film as well as anybody. And I'm curious to see how much of Miami's defensive game plan he employs on Saturday night.
Now, looking at this defense, and I mentioned they are statistically they are the best defense in the National Football League. And for one point of time, it was, you know, playing against that defense, it was if you get a first down, that was an accomplishment in itself. As of lately, they've kind of not played up to their standard. And everyone looks at what Miami did, in particular Devontae Parker did against Seymour. And I look at it and I say, yeah, he had some catches, but as a whole, Gilmore did a really good job. What is being said about that defense there in New England?
The Patriots have shown us or have revealed themselves susceptible to plays over the middle, which is ironic because that's what the Patriots offense, all of those rub routes and those pick routes that free up Edelman over the middle and Gronk over the years over the middle, that's the way teams have been attacking the Patriots defense. And the linebackers, the play of the linebacking crew has slipped a little bit. And, you know, whether it's been teams like Houston and Kansas City isolating the Patriots linebackers and coverage in the short passing game, or whether it's been, you know, getting receivers down the seam, the Patriots have been able, the opponents have been able to attack the Patriots defense over the middle. You certainly saw that on Sunday with the Dolphins. I mean, there were, like you mentioned, Derek, there were a couple of passes where Devontae Parker went up and just high-pointed the ball and got it away from Gilmore. But for the most part, on that last drive, when they went 75 yards in 3.5 minutes, when they were down 4 points and needed a touchdown, they were attacking over the middle.
Well, and it seems like Stephon Gilmore will be on A.J. Brown. What is the strategy and what's been the conversation around the facility and amongst media as it pertains to Derrick Henry? Clearly, they rested him in Week 16 in an effort to get him healthy. It clearly worked in Week 17. He's leading the NFL in rushing. What is the strategy? Because it's not like the defense has been great. So if we're going to put Gilmore on Brown, A.J. Brown, and say, go take care of him, you know, you just mentioned a few areas where they could take advantage over the middle, down the seam, isolating linebackers. What about the running game?
Well, I would say the Patriots match up pretty well in this regard because of the seasons of Lawrence Guy and Danny Shelton. Those guys have been very, very good at stopping the run. Adam Butler has turned into a real dependable three-down lineman for the Patriots. Early in the season, when the Patriots defense was playing its best football, they were holding teams to 2 and 3 yards on first and second down. That hasn't been the case so much in the second half of the season, and I wonder, and I asked Brett Bielema, the Patriots defensive coach, on Tuesday about that, and he said, look, we believe our guys are rested enough and the rotations that we're throwing in there in terms of our defensive line rotations are going to help us be at our best Saturday night.
Mike Petraglia joining us here covering the New England Patriots. And listen, I know that the Titans have not fared well going up to New England basically ever in the history of their organization. I think the Oilers might have won there like once back in like the 60s or something. But outside of that, but this does feel like a gettable game for them because of how they're playing and how New England's playing. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if New England won by 30. So what is your final guess? I hate predictions, but I got to ask.
I actually like the Titans. If they play like they did and establish a point of attack at the line of scrimmage and just try to play physical with the Patriots and show them early on they're going to win the line of scrimmage, I just like the way the Titans are playing and their matchups. They have big guys. All of the weapons that the Titans have are physically strong, tall, big offensive players. And if you're going to beat the Patriots, that's the way you do it. And you go mano a mano. And I think the biggest advantage that the Titans have coming into this game is Mike Vrabel. He knows what is going on. We started this interview about the conversation in the Patriot locker room. He knows all of that. He's going to tell the Titans. here's what you're up against, and here's how you're going to counter the crowd, the noise, the distraction, all of that early in that game. The way to do it is to physically beat the Patriots at the line of scrimmage. And I think, you know, assuming that the Titans don't turn the ball over, I think they've got a very good chance of winning.
Well, playoff games are a gift. Enjoy them. Follow him on Twitter, at Trags, T-R-A-G-S. Mike Petralia, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Should be a fun one.
Absolutely. Yep. Listen to that, Derek.
There's a lot of – there's not a lot – this is the first time, and we've talked to New England media before, last year, year before, whatever. And this is the first time that I've heard where media members have not been optimistic.
I think more of the
about the Patriots.
I think more of the casual media fan, everybody, is more bullish on the Titans than I can ever remember in a matchup like
you're
this.
Right.
I'm not sure that bodes well for the Titans. They like to play the role of upset, you know, underdog. That generally suits them better. I personally enjoy it when my teams are in the role of underdog. It feels like there's less pressure. You can play freer. But there's a lot of individual matchup stuff there that he talked about. And I want to get into that with you, Derek, when we come back, because I think those are some of the critical keys. Pass rush on Tom Brady. How do you attack the Patriots' defense over the middle, down the seam, isolating linebackers? He brought up a lot of stuff there. And how do you attack James White and Julian Edelman? He also gave us some information there. So we'll recap all of that with what Mike just had to say there. A lot of intrigue. So we'll get into some of the games within the game before we make final picks. Titans, Patriots, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We will make some final predictions and give away a pair of Preds tickets coming up next segment. ESPN 102.5 The Game, Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. And a lot of individual matchup stuff there from Mike Petralia covering the Patriots from up in Boston. And Derek, I thought a couple of things that he nailed there. It feels like over this span where the last eight games, the Patriots are only averaging 21 points a game. They're 2-3 in their last five. They're losing to good teams and they're beating bad teams. But their offense has not been what it used to be. It's the first time they, you know, they're playing without a bye in a long time. And we recognize the weaponry. And it feels like Petralia just admitted it. He said, listen, you double team Julian Edelman, you put a defensive back on James White, and you force the other weapons to beat you in man coverage. And I don't know if those weapons, with the Dory Jackson back this week, which is, again, I don't think he fixes everything in the secondary for the Titans, but with Amani Hooker and a Dory Jackson, all of a sudden your secondary feels a little bit different. So defensively, I think, you know, it feels like we're on to something. I would be disappointed if Mike Vrabel decides to cover James White with a linebacker.
Yeah, I don't think that will be what they, you know, choose to do, even though I believe Brown has the speed, but I don't think he has the quick twitch movement, the, you know, the wiggle, the hip stability to, you know, kind of move the way White moves. I don't think he can mirror him in trying to cover him. I think what they will try to do is if it is Brown that's covering him, I think they will combo coverage. They will slice it. They will spy it. They will do something where it's two guys on the running back. Now, you know, the good part about it is that, you know, the New England Patriots, they've been judicial in regards to how much they've played White. He's not a every down back. So it's certain packages where the Titans need to employ, you know, this combo coverage. It's not like they got to do it every play. You know, obviously they don't use their main running back, Sony Michel, in that manner. Now, Sony Michel was able to run the football and had the ability to come out the backfield like a James White, then now you gotta do that almost every play because Sony Michel is then now your three down back. But because they bring in James White more so to be that pass catching running back, you don't have to use it every play. Now, you know, New England can switch it up on you. New England can have James White in there majority of the time. Then I think that puts pressure immense pressure on the Titans
yeah.
to have to double him every
yeah.
play majority of the game.
And it worked for most of the time against DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
It just didn't work in the final few minutes when he made plays. On the other side of the ball, I think it's fascinating. We've always assumed, hey, Belichick takes away what you do best, which is running the football with Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. And we assumed Stephon Gilmore is going to be on A.J. Brown. Which means, and you just heard him talking about this, that the way you attack this defense is isolate those linebackers in space and go over the middle. Well, you know who does that really well? Jonnu Smith, Tajae yeah. Sharpe, Corey Davis, and Deion Lewis. Those guys all can go. Now, this is where Adam Humphries might have been a nicer piece to the puzzle, but he's not supposed to play this week. It looks like he's going to be out. So I still think they have the game plan. Arthur Smith, what does he like to do, right? He likes to get those staple in routes. On out of play action, like
yeah.
can you get a linebacker isolated on Jonnu Smith over the middle on a play action pass? Absolutely, that's what the Titans want to do.
Absolutely.
So there are some reasons, and frankly, many of them. He's picking the Titans to win, to go up there and beat the Patriots. Now, I also again, I see why there is excitement about this Titans mm-hmm. team and why the matchup feels like it's different than before, because every year they go up there. They get beat by 60, or they get beat by 30, or they get beat by 20, and it's not really been competitive, you know, basically ever. I think there's reasons for all of that. They're playing the best football of almost any team in the AFC outside of maybe Baltimore. You know, we can rattle off all these stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also Tom Brady. It's also Bill Belichick. It's also the greatest franchise of this generation of football. And if they came out and the best first quarter team, one of the best first quarter teams in the NFL – against one of the worst first half teams in the NFL, the Titans, wouldn't be surprised if it's 21-3 in the second quarter either. So I'm hopeful it's a close game, because I think if it's close in the second half, the Titans are going to feel very confident about their chances.
I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, well, I wouldn't be surprised sort of either way. But then the more I thought about it, because that's what my initial thought was. But then the more I thought about it, I said, you know, I would be surprised if the Tennessee Titans come out and they allow the New England Patriots to jump on them 14-0, 21-0, 21-7. I would be really surprised. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the game at halftime is you know, 14-7 or 10-3.
Yeah.
New England.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that.
In fact, 14-7 feels about
yeah,
right.
I would be really surprised if this game was 14-0, 21-0, 17-3. I would be really surprised heading to halftime. I would be really surprised if the Titans allow New England's offense to move the ball down the field and score points. Now, this is because New England is they're a very opportunistic defense. This is where the Titans need to be very careful, and Arthur Smith needs to be very careful throwing interceptions.
Yeah.
This team gets a lot of turnovers.
Now, they haven't as much lately.
Yeah, lately.
They got 5 against the Bengals, but mm-hmm. outside of that, in the last 5 or 6 games, during this stretch that they've mm-hmm. struggled,
exactly.
they have not created the same number of turnovers.
Yeah, but you don't want them to get back to that.
No.
That history of just getting turnovers. So you got to be very careful. Derrick Henry, got to be very careful with the football.
Yeah, and he's been better since a couple of early fumbles. Here's the numbers. The Patriots created 5 turnovers against the Bengals 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They did not create a turnover against Miami last week.
Mm-hmm.
They did not create a turnover against Buffalo the week before that. They created 2 against Kansas City in the loss, none against Houston, 1 against Dallas, 1 against Philly. So if you take Cincinnati out, the worst team in the NFL, where they created 5 turnovers, in their last 6 games, they've created a total of 4 turnovers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 3 times, no turnovers. So
exactly.
That has slowed down. Ryan Tannehill's fumbled the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a few interceptions called back. Derrick Henry's fumbled the ball. The sacks have been there all season.
Mm-hmm.
I think the protection of the quarterback is absolutely critical for both teams.
Because we saw it against the Saints.
And the Titans.
And we thought it was over with.
I am still concerned that Tannehill will be under pressure for most of the game and will not have any time to operate, which therefore makes Derrick Henry's job that much more tough, difficult, and more important. I also don't know. They are the worst. The Titans are the worst team in the NFL from a knockdown rate. They do not get pressure on the quarterback and hit the quarterback very often at all, outside of maybe Harold Landry. Can Dean Pease come up with some unique blitzes without giving up coverage advantages? Mm-hmm. to get pressure on Brady, because if they cannot get pressure on Brady, I'm sorry, the ball's out of there in 2 seconds.
And that's and I think that's what people are missing. What you just said, getting pressure on Brady, but then also the offensive line holding up, because you know people overlook what happened against New Orleans Saints. We thought these problems were fixed, but then once they played a really good defense with a good defensive front, those problems showed their head. They reared their ugly head again, and it was like, oh my goodness, here we go again. Because in this three-game stretch toward the end, they played two defensive lines that were horrible in Houston, and then they played a really good one in the New Orleans Saints, and we saw what happened. New England has a good defensive line. They got a good defensive front. They can't get to the passer. So will these – and then Belichick is known for drumming up these blitzes. Can they hold up?
Yeah, and Shelton and Guy have been good. You got Van Noy, you got Hightower, you got Collins. I mean, they've got guys that maybe aren't as good in space against guys like Jonnu Smith, but are going to be very good against a big power running tack. So, listen, I have no idea. I'm fascinated. It is a great opportunity for this organization to prove itself. And it's a great opportunity for Ryan Tannehill to say to everybody, see those 10 games I just put up? All of it was legit. Now I can go on the road and beat Tom Brady. So, listen, I'm not suggesting it's an easy thing to do. There's a reason the Patriots are favored by five. There's a reason they've won all the Super Bowls. But this Titans team is as well, it's situated as well as it could possibly be situated for this potential matchup. So we'll see. We'll find out. We'll make some official picks and give away some Preds tickets when we come back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right. We will make official predictions on the Titans playoff game. Congratulations to the Tennessee Volunteers, by the way, on a big win in the bowl game last night, if you want to call it that. It's a great way to celebrate the end of the season. Fantastic last 5 minutes of that game. They figured out a way to win and beat Indiana 23-22 in the bowl game down there in the Gator Bowl, and they finished with six straight wins to end the regular season. So it's a remarkable year for the Vols as they rebound. Preds, of course, are back on the ice tomorrow night, Saturday night, late night, 9:30 against the Kings, and then the Ducks on Sunday night at 9:00. So pregame, of course, and puck drop, 9:30 and 9:00 respectively over the weekend. Two huge games for them. Now, I'm going to cross-pollinate sports a little bit here. So I've got a Titans trivia question as it pertains to the playoff game this weekend in an effort for you to win Predators tickets. So you will get a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Boston Bruins at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, January 7th. That is an exceptional prize. Right, Derek?
Yes, it is.
An exceptional prize, which means it requires a difficult trivia question. Okay? So, the Tennessee Titans, as an organization, have never gone into New England and won a game. As the Tennessee Titans or Oilers, they are 0-6, all-time on the road against the Patriots. Really, they've only had like six wins total going all the way back to like the 60s.
Ooh, goodness.
Here's the question, and you have to text us, right, Marquise? That's the rule. They got to text us on the text line, 615-737-1025.
Text, please.
Got to text. Here's the question. Should I make them get all three of them?
Yes, you should.
Okay, you're making this hard. Look, it's a great prize.
Absolutely.
Two tickets to the Preds Bruins.
Oh, man.
It's big time. One of the best teams in the NHL versus the Preds.
Absolutely.
So, name the last three starting quarterbacks for the Tennessee basically the Oilers.
Yeah.
This organization. Name the last three starting quarterbacks to go into New England and win a football game against the Patriots.
Ha-ha. Ha-ha. And you can, in lieu of the playoffs, that's why we're giving you this question, in lieu of the playoffs. And I love that Crispy, you know, gave shout-outs to the Titans, too, and he told them good luck. That was great. But in lieu of the playoffs, we give a Titans question, and you can, so you get the best of both worlds. You get to guess a Titan question, but then you also get to go to a Nashville Predator game at Bridgestone.
This is a huge
game. It's a win-win.
It's a big-time prize.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the last three starting quarterbacks for the
Titans/Oilers
franchise to go into New England and beat the Patriots.
Yes. All three.
This goes back a ways.
You can't give him no hint.
The first two are easier, and the last one you're going to have to probably look up. So text us, 615-737-1025. We shall see. All right, somebody's already guessed Kerry Collins, Steve McNair, Vince Young. Not one of those three. Were you not listening when we said the Titans have never gone into New England and
but
won
we
a game?
Can't. I mean, hey, they weren't listening, so it's not our fault.
The first one is extremely obvious. The second one is a little less obvious, but pretty big name. Mm-hmm. And the third one is very difficult.
Okay.
So, well, hey. There you go.
I wouldn't give him no hints.
Next guess, Mariota, Collins, McNair. Again.
Wrong.
No, not one of those three people went on the road and beat the Patriots.
What did Charlie Murphy say?
Next guess.
Wrong.
McNair, Mariota, and then the other one was correct.
Okay.
And I'm not going to give the name.
Yeah, you can't. Charlie Murphy and, what was he doing? The Rick James skit.
Yeah.
Wrong. Wrong.
One person guessed Warren Moon, Glinda, and McNair. I'm not sure who Glinda is. Is that George Blanda?
Yeah.
Glinda?
George Blanda?
Glinda works in.
That was my grandma's best friend back in South
Carolina. she works in HR, I think, downstairs, actually. Yeah. Glinda.
And I'm sure she has
people
not
are getting closer.
Beaten New England.
People are getting closer.
Since I last checked.
People are getting closer. You got to go deep. You got to go back a ways. There you go.
Now, McNair might have beat New England playing Madden and started himself, but we didn't actually go there and beat the New England Patriots. Had a shot to do it, but didn't.
Mm. Oh, close. We've got one that's close, but not. Caleb got the first two correct.
Close.
And he missed the third. Third one's going to be hard, man.
Hey, close only work in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah, third one's going to be hard. All right, Derek, give me your thoughts. Final thoughts wrapping up the game and a prediction.
Man, my final thoughts is this, and we've talked about it for the last 3 hours and 40-something minutes. The Titans got to go in there, and they need to stick to their game plan. They need to go in there. Derek Henry ran the ball 30 times last weekend. You called it. You said you needed to get the ball 30 times. He got it 31, 32 times. Mm-hmm. Well, it needs to be another 31 times, 32, 33 times. They need to lean heavy, and he can handle the load. They need to lean heavy on Derrick Henry in that offensive line. If they get in a passing war with the New England Patriots, that offensive line will crumble, meaning the Titans offensive line. I'm only going by what I've seen in history. History says, it tells me that the Tennessee Titans offensive line, those problems that we talked about early in the season, we thought they were gone. They're not gone. They're still there. They just hadn't played a really good defensive front until they played New England, meaning until they played New Orleans. New England has a good defensive mm-hmm. front. They have to. A.J. Brown, if you hear me. Corey Davis, if you hear me. Tajay Sharp, if you hear me. You guys have to step up big. A.J., they're going to put Gilmore on you. If there's a play to be made, you need to make it. Don't make this bigger than what it is, okay? Just because it's Gilmore in front of you, it doesn't matter. You're the best receiver on the field. That's how you got to play. Davis, Sharp, y'all got to own whoever covers y'all because y'all are getting the third or fourth best defensive backs, and you guys are starters. Y'all should make them pay for that.
I think Deion Lewis, to a much lesser degree as well, but Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. And then Tajay Sharp, number three, Deion Lewis, four. Those four guys, because we know what A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry are. We mm-hmm. know they have to be either successful or creating focus.
Exactly.
Stealing the focus and attention so that there is space for man coverage and one-on-one matchups elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Sure, maybe they make some plays, great. But Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, those guys need to make plays. Tajay Sharp is great over the middle. You need to get those linebackers isolated. Who knows what their scheme is going to be? Belichick's going to come up with some crazy scheme. Here are the last few meetings for the Patriots hosting the Titans. We all remember 35-14 in the playoffs a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. 33-16 in 2015 in December. We all remember 59-0. The McNair game, 17-14 mm-hmm. up in New England. They went on to win that Super Bowl, the mm-hmm. Patriots did that year. That was a playoff game. That was a close game. 38-30 before that in 2003. And then the Tennessee Oilers, technically, in 1998, mm-hmm. went up there and lost 27-16. It has not been good. Mm-mm. That building, that location, that city, that franchise has not been good for this city and franchise. Mm-hmm. I expect them to go up there and play very well. I just don't think you beat Tom Brady in Gillette in the playoffs.
I'm leaning toward that.
23-20. Greg Joseph misses a field goal to tie the game at the end.
I think it's that. I think New England wins. It's very hard. As much as we've, you know,
I've talked myself into the Titans playing really well.
But as much as we've said, if you're going to beat New England, this is the time to beat them. As much as we have said, the Titans have been playing really good as of late, offensively, defensively. It's a different story, and I think that, and I think because of that, the New England Patriots, as much as their offense has struggled, they're playing against a defense that is not one of the best defenses in the National Football League the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. I think New England wins this game 24-21. I think New England has the ball last, and they run the clock out, because the Titans hadn't been able, when the teams went on a three-minute drive, the Titans hadn't fared well in situations like that. So I think this defense, they give up plays to the running back in Edelman, and they lose a close one on 24-21. This is going to be their defense is their Achilles heel. Now, offense, I'm not worried about. The defense is the Achilles heel for this team.
Yep, I tend to agree. Trivia question for Preds tickets against the Bruins coming up on January 7th against Bridgestone Arena. Huge. That's a huge game. So we wanted to make the trivia question a little more difficult, and it has been. There have been a lot of you that got two of them correct. Warren Moon, of course, went up there and won in 1993, I believe. Dan Pastorini won three consecutive trips to New England. There is one more that everyone is missing. Text us. I just gave you the first two. Text us the answer to the final.
I wouldn't have gave none.
I'm feeling nice and running out of show here. So, now, again, it was not even the New England Patriots when they played. How about that? We'll get to the answer when we come back right here on Morning Drive. All right, you know what? It's a playoff football Friday. We got two big Preds games this weekend. The Vols played last night. You know what? Let's just forget about the Daily Rewind today, and let's just talk about Dan Pastorini.
Let's talk about
and Warren Moon.
Let's talk about.
By the way, the Whitney Houston song is "I Have Nothing."
I have nothing.
It was. I think that song is so ridiculously good, and it was the best song in the. In the Bodyguard, yes, okay. I think it was. It was when they were going to the award show, uh-huh. And she was singing at the award show. I thought that song was so good, so good. All right, so we have a winner. We have more guesses.
Oh wow!
For this trivia question than I can remember for any trivia question. I wanted to make it hard, and the history of the Oilers and the Patriots franchise, as they will play a playoff game. They've only played three times in playoff history. Twice as the Titans, of course, in 2018 and in 2004. We just mentioned those two losses. Of course, Mariota with the blowout loss there, of course, and then McNair with a three-point loss against Tommy in 2004. In 1978, the Houston Oilers went up to New England and won 31-14 in the postseason. That was Dan Pastorini. Warren Moon won in 1993 in a regular season game. But outside of that, since 1968, this franchise, Titans and Oilers, mm-hmm. has won a grand total of five football games at the Patriots. Mm. You got to go all the way back to the Boston Patriots to find a third starting quarterback who went up to that area and won a football game.
Oh, wow.
And in 1968, with the help of a great defense, they shut out the Boston Patriots.
Ooh.
Bob Davis.
Old Bob Davis.
Look at this stat line. 10 for 25 passing.
Oh, wow.
It's like 35%. 119 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, ran the ball for 59 yards and a touchdown.
That sound like Blake Bortles.
A little bit, or like an option team. And the Houston Oilers went on the road and won 16-0 against the Boston Patriots in 1968. And his name, Marquise, is
John Michael Ward. It was actually his birthday.
It's his birthday today?
Congratulations.
Congratulations, John.
Congrats.
He got it right.
Happy
Bob Davis,
birthday.
Warren Moon, Dan Pastorini.
Happy birthday.
So Ryan Tannehill can join that group this weekend
happy
with a win.
Happy birthday to you.
There's a lot of guesses. You guys threw out a lot of guesses. A lot of Jackie Lee mentions.
Jackie Lee.
Which is a really awesome
Jackie
name.
Moon?
Pete Blint.
Or Jackie Lee.
Pete Beathard. Some mentions for Pete Beathard. Yeah.
Cody Carlson was in there.
Cody Carlson was guest a bunch of times. A bunch of names that I have not heard since when I was like a small child watching NFL films documentaries.
Yeah.
Old George Blanda never did it, man.
No.
Ryan Tannehill could do something to George Blanda.
Or Glinda. Neither did Glinda.
Her and my grandma used to watch stories together.
Yeah, that's you.
Marquise, do you have a final prediction on the Titans game you'd like to put on the record?
Yes, you have to.
Now I can finally put it on the record. All right, cool. I'm going to go with the Titans.
Attaboy.
One of us had to pick them.
Smart.
Well, no, because I look at this Patriots offense, and look, if we can get back to the Titans defense that we saw early on in the season, I think if we get back to that defense, if that defense just shows up for this one game right here, well, maybe for the whole entire playoffs, but more importantly, this game right here, you know, I think that they can pull this game off. I just don't see enough from this Patriots offense that will scare me. Now, when we get down to the Chiefs and the Ravens all these other teams, sure, that then you start panicking a little bit. But I think if any first-round matchup is the first-round matchup that the Titans wanted, it's this one because I think their defense could and Dean Pease can set up something that can stop this offense.
So is that the reason you think that they return to form? Because there's nothing really on the field the last 6 or 8 weeks that says that this defense is going to return to form.
Nah.
Are you just buying into Dean Pease? That's a good reason, man.
Because if there's anybody, and we see this even in college football with, you know, regardless of what you say about Brent Venables as a coach and as far as a head coach in the future, he's a good game planner.
It's been great.
And if you give him time to game plan on a team, he's pretty good.
Well, he was great in the second half against Ohio State, too. Yeah. Made great adjustments.
Yeah, so, and I think we'll see the same thing with Dean Pease. Dean Pease is just one of those guys that he knows how to game plan, and I think you have a game plan set for the Titans. Now, it's all going to rely on what Arthur Smith does on that offense as well. So, it's a complete team, but it's going to be a close one. But I think the Titans will pull it off.
I really want to pick the Titans. I really do. I really do.
If they were in Nashville, I'm picking the Titans all the way. I'm not even hesitating. But they're at Gillette Stadium. And the Patriots, hey, listen, regardless of how the last five games have went for the Patriots. They're 4-4, and they lost to the Miami Dolphins.
This is different.
They're still the New England Patriots, and it's the playoffs.
It's the playoffs, man. And I don't even know how you as a player can describe the difference, because we know the hockey difference, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about there's just an intensity that, like, I want injected into my veins through an IV when you're at a building, mm-hmm. when you're in a hockey game for a playoff game. It's I feel like it's not as sort of tangible in the NFL, mm-hmm. because every play is so important for every player, because you're kind of fighting for your career every play and mm-hmm. every regular season game. That's why there's such a huge difference in hockey playoffs versus hockey regular season. But this is New England, man. This is the home of the evil empire. And you got a chance to go up there and completely change the way the entire world looks at your franchise.
Mm.
Don't mess it up.
You do.
No pressure.
You got the Titans have a, if you think about it, man, they got a lot riding on this game. And I know you win, you continue to move forward in the playoffs. But I think as a organization.
A brand perception?
Yeah. If you can, you go down to New England and beat them, I do believe it's one thing to beat them in the regular season. But then to beat them in the playoffs. This Tennessee Titans team, if Baltimore does it, people expect it. If Kansas City does it, people expect it. If Buffalo does it, yeah, then okay. But if you go down there, it changes everything for you.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill can also become only the third quarterback in Titans franchise history to win a playoff game. Marcus Mariota, Steve McNair are the only other two to have done that as well. I want to remind everybody very quickly here, starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow, the kickoff with Calvin and Elijah. You got 2-5 special edition of Jared and the GM, and then 5-7 NFL pregame with Stillman Floyd and Chris Sanders live, of course, from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville from 2-7. A lot of stuff tomorrow, so don't go anywhere. Darren Donick and the boys, Chase today. You got all the good stuff today, so enjoy your Friday, everybody. Thanks for listening. For Derek, my name's Braden. His name's Munson. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, everybody.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay safe and warm and dry, and I love you.